It's time for America's most unique motorsport show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
I'm not feeling very good today. No.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from Lucas Oil Speedway in Wheatland, Missouri. Population 187 down here in the middle of nowhere. It's the Jesse Hockett, Danny McMillan Memorial for the next three nights here at Lucas Oil Speedway. It's going to be a great, great tribute to both Jesse Hockett and Daniel McMillan. A lot of cars here, nearly 70 some cars in the wing series, 60 some cars in the non-wing series. It's going to be a great weekend. Kirk Elliott's back in the studio. Kirk, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing better than you right now, apparently, huh? So
yeah, I'm not feeling under the weather. I caught a cold yesterday, and for whatever reason, I'm just a little bit under the weather. So we got a pretty good show lined up for you today. One of my favorite people in all the world, Jack Hockett's going to be joining you here in just a little bit, Kirk. And we're going to talk about this great tribute this weekend for 3 days for Jesse Hockett and Daniel McMillan. It's going to be a great tribute. It's a beautiful facility, the Diamond of Dirt Tracks. It's a beautiful place to have the event down here at Lucas Oil Speedway. Kirk, you've been down here many a times. It's so good to see the great turnout that we see every year down here at the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking at the video from last year of this event and how packed the grandstands were in last year's event, and watched that A-Main that J.J. Hickel won a year ago. Unfortunately, he's not going to be with us this weekend because he's gone pretty much 410 racing, but man, that was a great race a year ago, looking back at it.
Yeah, no, it was a good race. J.J. Hickel picked it up. Derek Hagar picked up a couple nights before that. You know, we had Derek on the show here the other day, and he really wanted to win that final night, and it didn't work out for him that way. But J.J. Hickel not going to be here. He's not going to be defending his crown that he won here last year at the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial at Lucas Oil Speedway, the Diamond of Dirt Track. So, unfortunately, he won't be here, but we know Derek Hagar will be.
Yeah, and he was in the mix last year. But, you know, the other guy that was really in the mix a year ago and looked like he had a really good shot of winning was Roger Crockett, who led much of that race a year ago, and he's back this year, and he should have a strong race car again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Looking forward to it, Kirk. This weekend is – listen, when I say this, I don't mean this in any disrespect to any other race. But for me personally, this is the number one race of the year for me personally. There's not a race that means more to me than the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial. You know, Kirk, we were so close to Jesse. He was in our studio the night before his passing. And you know, he was such a great kid, and Daniel McMillan was as well. It's just a great honor to have such an event here at the Diamond of Dirt Tracks, Lucas Oil Speedway. I can't think of a better place to have it than what we've got going on down here at Lucas Oil Speedway. How about you, Kirk?
Oh, I agree with that. You know, I was looking back at some of the history and the former winners of this event, and I had almost forgotten that the first Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial was at Lake Ozark Speedway just about a month after we lost Jesse Hockett. In June of 2010, Zach Chappell won that event over there. And then after that, it moved to Lucas Oil Speedway. In the first year, right. It was just wing cars. But in 2012, that's when we started having both wing and non-wing cars. And looking back at some of the photos from some of those early events, just to see how fast this thing has grown over the last 12 years is pretty remarkable. The money payout, the crowds, everything that's grown since this thing started at Lucas Oil Speedway in 2011 is just pretty remarkable.
It's been since 2011 since we've been here. Is
yeah.
that right, Jack?
It is just amazing just how the growth. And, you know, I was looking at some of the photos that Josh Stevens won the first non-wing event in 2012. He was paid $500. I think tomorrow night or on Saturday night, they're going to pay almost over five grand for the non-wing feature winner and 10 grand for the wing feature winner on Saturday night. That's how big the money has grown just over the last decade.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that I wish that we would see a little bit different here this weekend, Kirk, is I wish they'd split up the wing cars like they do the non-wing cars. Typically the first night of the Jesse Hockett Danny McMillan Memorial here at Lucasoil Speedway goes pretty late. And if they would just split up the wing portion of the event, I think that would be better for everybody, the people that are here. You know, this is one of those events where a ton of campers show up. It's very much like Knoxville for me personally.
Yeah, I mean, the prestige of this event has really grown. I mean, you ask Derek Hagar, who comes, his home track really is I-30 Speedway, where he has really made a name for himself down there. And the Short Track Nationals used to be this huge event. And now he says the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial is a bigger event than the Short Track Nationals. For him to come out and say that, that is pretty big. And, boy, you look at just how everything has grown and compare that to what's going on down at Little Rock right now. It is pretty amazing, just the growth of this event and the number of drivers that show up. And really, Scott, it's just a tribute to Jesse Hockett, the guys that show up and how meaningful winning this race is to all of these drivers.
Well, you know, it's funny, Jack, and I had dinner with the Hocketts last night. And, man, let me tell you, that vegetable soup that we had last night, oh, my gosh, it was so good, Kirk. I can't even tell you how good it was. And then they had some jalapeno poppers, and then they had some brownies. Oh, it was so good last night. It was such a great dinner, and I'm thankful that they invited me to come over there and eat with them. And we got to hang out a little bit. But you're right, Kirk. I think that when you look at the magnitude of this event, it surpasses the Short Track Nationals. And in my eyes, it surpasses the 360 Nationals that we have up at Knoxville Raceway. I get it. The 360 Nationals is a very important race. But for me personally, this race means more than any of those other races. I don't know about you.
Oh, you know what? I like this as a fan because you get to see both wing and non-wing cars on the same nights, on the same track. And
real traditional sprint car race, what we have down here at the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial.
You talked about the format. The ASCS is changing up their format just a little bit to kind of speed time. You know, you used to have the heats and the qualifiers. But now they're going to qualify while they're hot lapping, and they're only going to run one set of heat races, so they're cutting it down that way. But still, these guys are going to be racing all three nights, whereas the non-wing cars are going to split up the field Thursday and Friday night and run them all on Saturday. So that is part of it. But I agree with you, Scott. I think I'd like to see the ASS do the same thing.
What'd you say? ASCS?
ASCS is what I meant to say.
Okay.
I'd like to see them do the same thing as the non-wing cars, split the field up, two separate nights of qualifying, and then come back with an alphabet soup type format on Saturday night for both classes. And that would save the racetrack, and I think it would cut down the amount of time that these cars are out there on the racetrack.
You know, it's funny, Kirk. I don't know why they don't do it. I mean, the non-wing guys are doing it. Why not go ahead and do the wing cars that way as well?
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Maybe we'll have a chance to ask Danny Lorton about that here in the future. But, I just think it makes a lot of sense to do it the same way as the non-wing cars. Listen, let's don't make the fans sitting in the grandstands wait till 2 a.m. to get out of here, right?
Yeah, I'm all for that. Austin, you haven't weighed in. What do you think? You're all for that too, right?
Yeah, I don't. It's the old format made it near impossible. If you have a bad pill draw, that's all it came down to was if you had a bad pill draw, you're going to start at the back of the first heat race. Track usually narrow, and you're not going to go anywhere. And it just makes your week really long, and it's really tough. And I think it just, I don't know. I feel like you might have a lot more drivers, you know, happier and maybe some better racing if we broke up the field, you know. And it's just a time thing too. I mean, it's, you have 70 cars, 75 cars now. I bet you we're going to hit 80. I bet you there's some cars that don't enter that show up, you know, later tonight. And
that entered and won't show up, you're saying, right? Yeah.
No, I think you might have some cars show up that didn't enter. So you might have only 70 pre-entered and have 75 cars show up.
Oh, I got you.
So, yeah. I mean, if you look at it, some of these local tracks around here, some of these races that we go to, there's 75 cars in the pits for every class. Right. Now we just have one class, and now you're going to add another class that has, you know, 33. So you're sitting over 110 cars you got to run through, and the format's so long. You know, it just drags your night, you know, longer than it needs to. If you cut that down to only having 60 cars in the pits instead of 110 or so, now you're there half the time almost.
Right. If it means anything to you, the track crew has been out here working on this racetrack for the last 2 hours. So they are doing everything they can to try to make this track as racy as possible tonight here at Lucas Oil Speedway.
No, I think they're doing the same thing they've done in the years past. It's just a very tough format. I'm going to be really interested to see. I wish I was a part of it this year to see how the qualifying format will work and how it really affects, how much it changes your week and your night. So I'll be interested to see. You know, maybe we can get away with running 70 cars with this format, and it makes things easier. But, like, you know, you look at it last year, and you have 70 cars, and you got to run heat races, qualifiers. It's like an LCQ, and I think a B main, and then your A main. And there's six, seven heat races, same for qualifiers and on through. So, yeah, I mean, if it makes a night go by faster with this, and, you know, it's gives teams some chances to kind of dig themselves out of a hole throughout the night, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, it. Me personally, I think that the effort that goes in by the track crew, they put a big effort in here. It's not like it's lack of effort. It's the quantity of cars and how many laps we put on the racetrack is the biggest problem. It's not really the preparation from the track crew. Would you agree with that, Austin?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything the track is. Track crew, track officials have done.
It's quantity of cars.
It's just, right? That's what it is. And I remember going down there, you know, last year and drawing, you know, the 90 pill starting we have so many cars, you got to have a ton of water in it. So it makes hot laps, just slop narrow laps. And you're just, you know, blowing through there, you know, burning the track off. And you run the Nauman cars, they clean it off some more. Now you come out for a heat race and the track's like two lanes wide at that point. Three lanes maybe, but you're not going to drive from the last row, you know, to the front when you got a lot of fast cars. So, you know, that should kind of change now with qualifying and all that. But you just, what the biggest thing was, the biggest killer last year and years past is just how much water they've had to put on it to accommodate for all these cars stuck in the first two heat races.
And that's a bad deal, because if you're in one of the early heat races, the track is kind of locked down and it's hard to pass and it's hard to get those passing points, right?
Yeah, and now you're gonna put these guys, you're gonna invert the top four, and then passing points are still available. So, it does benefit you now, because if you go out there and have, you know, a decent qualifying effort, let's say you qualify fifth, you start fifth because you missed the invert, and you run fifth or fourth and you pass one car, you're still going to be sitting in a decent spot. Even if you go quick time, start fourth and pass one car or fall back one, you're not going to be, it's not going to be a big of a factor on your night as if you started, you know, mid-pack on passing points and didn't pass anybody, and you had this one guy, you know, who had an easy heat race or, you know, whatever scenario and drove by a ton of cars, and now you're, like, buried in points.
Yeah, Yeah, no doubt about it. It's, you know, if you're starting up in the front of your heat race when the track's heavy, that's a good thing. If you're starting in the back, it's a bad thing, right?
Yeah, years past, it was who drew the lowest pill, and now it's going to be who can go out there and lay down the best lap. And it'll be really interesting because now I hope they run the non-wing cars first for hot laps, get the track blown off, get a decent groove for, you know, laid down, and then, you know, allow the cars with the wing series to come out and have a semi-decent track to lay qualifying down on. So, I mean, if the first group or first cars on the track is, you know, heat one for ASCS, and you go out there and qualify, they should be about maybe 10 cars in a heat race with this deal because there's 70 cars. So the first five cars are going to go out there and run, and they're going to run, I don't know, however fast, and track's going to kind of get better as they run. Second group's going to come out there for this back half of the heat race. Track's better for them. They're going to go faster. So it's not equal for them to go out there first. It's the second groups are always going to have an advantage over the first groups that went out. So
no, I agree with that.
It's going to, I just hope that, you know, they have some sense and send the Nomin cars out first, gave us a decent track, and it's going to be equal for the first car in the first heat race to the 10th car in the first heat race to go out there and lay down a decent time.
You know, one thing about, I was looking at the video of the Saturday night main events, the track was really in great shape for those races last year. We saw some pretty good action, so they do a good job of prepping that racetrack down there, but with so many cars, it is a real challenge.
You know, the biggest thing was the first 2 years that we came down here, and we had the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial here. The first 2 years, let's just call it what it is. The track was shit, right? It wasn't good. It rubbered up. But since that second year, the track has been pretty darn good week in and week out for this event. Would anybody disagree with me or agree with me?
No, they've just gotten better and better at it each year.
They've kind of figured it out, right?
They figured it out. You know, the one great thing about the whole event down there is and we heard this from Danny Lorton yesterday, the camping is almost full. So it's like a whole city comes in there in Wheatland, Missouri, and doubles the population, more than that, really. But the campground, it's a big campground down there, so there's a lot of people hanging out over the 3 days down there, creating a hell of an atmosphere that people just love to hang out for the whole 3 days down there. That's the beauty of this event and where it's at.
You know what this is? It's more than just a race.
Yeah.
This is a social gathering, right? This is where everybody comes together for 3 days, hangs out with each other. That's probably what makes it my favorite event of the year. You know, we have a lot of fun when we go up to Knoxville for the 360 and the 410 Nationals. That's all fun, right? But this, you know, me personally, after traveling up and down the road with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour for 13 years, being gone 180 days a year for the last 13 years, these are my people right here. These are the people that I want to see and want to hang out with, right? These are 360 people. And all we can do is keep our fingers crossed that 360 racing stays popular. You know, I've said it many times on this show. 410 racing's making a comeback right now. So let's just hope it doesn't put a dagger in 360 racing. That's all I'm hoping for. Austin, you have any thoughts on that?
I think 360 racing can still survive and do well if it's done right. And when I say done right, It goes back to payout. You know, we need to get the pay a little bit better. I don't expect them to pay us what the 410s pay because it doesn't make sense. I mean, somewhere a little closer to that pay would be all right. And also just having some series that are here for the driver and for the team.
It just needs to pay a little more money.
Well, that too. We also, I mean, you know, we have one series, and they're doing a good job. But I think they can, you know, go and get some great feedback from teams that you know, want to support them, that have supported them and are supporting them now, and figure out what they in 360 racing, it's really just kind of around here, and one series has it, and there's nowhere else to go. So they have a great opportunity to make it really good and have a chance of growing it if they just listen to the team owners and the drivers and see what they have to what it takes from them to make them to the hold on what it takes to get them to the racetrack is what I'm trying to say. I'm not thinking ahead of what I'm saying here, so
right but, you know that happens sometimes.
It does. That's what I'm learning and doing this, but it's you just yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
What do you think is the biggest obstacle on making 360 racing more popular? Is it the pay? Because we know we have plenty of 360 cars, right?
There's
tons of them out there.
You'll never beat the 410s, and just the fact that the popularity and what the return is with running the 410, the exposure and the publicity and the opportunities are a lot greater, but I think the 360s could be just as equal if it's done right, and that's starts with pay, starts with good leadership in series, being there for the drivers and having an open mind to challenges and questions and all that,
and
wanting to grow. And that's I think if everybody just works together, I and we all kind of become uniformed,
row the boat together.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be. I don't think it would be too long before we would be, on the path of being, a really good, series again.
As a fan,
if they could get it back up to 5,000 or 6,000 to win with the 360s, because when I started in 2009, we had all the stars: Jason Johnson, Shane Stewart, Brady Bacon, Gary Wright, Wayne Johnson, Blake Hunt. There was a ton of them, right? There was a ton of great drivers. That's because it paid $5,000 or $6,000 to win in the beginning, but they weren't able to book as many races as they'd like, and so they had a meeting up at Gray's Harbor at a motel room. I was there for the meeting. All the drivers agreed to cut it down to 4,000 to win, but now we're down to 3,000 to win. And I think that's not a good thing, to be honest with you.
As a fan, Scott, I just want to throw this in there. As a fan, I'm just as entertained watching the 360s as the 410s. I like them. I mean, they put on as good a show as the 410 guys, in my opinion.
The 360 cars do put on a great show. The biggest problem with 360 racing is they don't have the stars that they used to have. The star power is not there. You don't have Jason Johnson. You don't have Brady Bacon. You don't have or Shane Stewart, Tim Crawley, Gary Wright, Jesse. Gosh, I keep forgetting Jesse. But it was back in the heyday, in the early years, when I first started with this, there was a lot more star power.
Yeah, there's star power this weekend, though, Scott. I'm looking at this driver's list. There's plenty of stars this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, hey, listen, before we go to break, I want to remind everybody about the great track tribute that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's Ascot Park. It is a great exhibit. You got to get up there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Check it out. They've got all kinds of videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia, all kinds of Ascot Park display things on display. They've got so many great cars up there. I've been saying it all along. My favorite car up there is the old paint sprint car of Jimmy Oski that he drove. It's still in its original condition. It hasn't been restored. It's my favorite car up there. They've got a Dean Thompson number 2 sprint car up there, Pernelli Jones number 98 Turkey Night Midget there as well. And don't forget, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, folks. So there's no excuse not to go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Get up there. And while you're there, we always tell everybody, purchase you a Sprint Car raffle ticket as well. They got a 2022 Triple X chassis with a 410 motor in it. It's a great race car. It's a race-ready car Plus, they're going to give you $25,000 on top of it to help you pay for the taxes. They're going to be giving that away on Friday, December 16th. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in person, you can always do it at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. If you're not comfortable with putting your credit card information on a computer, you can always call them up at 641-842-6176. That's 641-842-6176. And they'll do it over the phone for you as well. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jack Hockett, one of my favorite people in the whole world, is going to join us right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back, Mostly Motorsports. I'm Kirk Elliott, Austin O'Neill. We're sitting in, helping out Scott as he gets through a little bit of the bug he's trying to get over, but he'll be back in the saddle. We're all getting ready to go racing tonight down at Lucas Oil Speedway for the 12th annual Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial. And Jack Hockett is joining us right now. Jack, here we are again. Man, it's hard to believe that, you know, you look around Lucas Oil Speedway and just how much this thing has grown over the last decade, 12 years. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, before we get started here, I just want to thank Danny Horton and the entire staff of Lucas Oil Speedway for their kindness and their generosity. They've really been good to my family, and that means everything to me.
Talk about the atmosphere down there. We had Danny on yesterday. Talks about the camping is almost full down there already. There's already a lot of people on the property, and we haven't even gone racing yet.
Yeah, they've rolled in here since Tuesday, and last night they really rolled in here. So, yeah, it's pretty full. The pits are full, and it's just amazing.
Now, you have a lot of presentations and a lot of things that go on throughout the weekend. We recognize Jesse and Daniel, and I know you got a lot of things planned during the week that people can look forward to, right?
Well, I'm kind of lazy, so Bobby Sue, my niece, takes care of all that, and I just kind of hang around and visit with everybody.
And that's really what's pretty cool about it. You know, we were talking about the atmosphere around there. The people show up, and the city of Wheatland is not that big of a town, but it sure grows huge when this event comes to town. And just you have a lot of people to talk to, too. The way everything is laid out, the pits and the grandstands, this is a great opportunity to talk to everybody, not just while the racing's going on, but just all through the weekend, huh?
Well, I've been visiting with everybody since yesterday, and I feel bad about it, but I have to cut people a little short once in a while because I got to go to the next one. So it's amazing how many people know me, but it's not because of me.
It is a tribute to Jesse just how big this thing has grown. We had Derek Hagar on the other day, and he talked about this is the crown jewel. This is the big event that everybody wants to come and show up, and that's a real tribute by the number of cars that continually show up in both the wing and non-wing classes every year. We're looking at the entry list now. It's star-studded in both classes. I see Casey Schumann is coming back. He's a former champion of this event. Drove your race car there at one time, too, and he's going to come back and tackle this thing, but you look through the names and the numbers, we got to, what, about 66 non-wing cars, over 70 wing cars. It's just a who's who of who's here. But you got to be proud of some of the people that take the time to show up at this event every year.
Oh, yeah. Derek Hagar is one here in my car. You know, I'm old and I can't remember a lot of stuff. But, yeah, my cars have been pretty good here. I was real proud of Jack last year, finished on the podium on the final night. That was probably the greatest thing could have happened last year.
Yeah, the track, you know, we were talking about just how good the track was for the feature events last year. These guys really put on a great show. Wesley Smith won the non-wing feature last year. J.J. Hickel and a great battle with Roger Crockett to win the wing portion a year ago. So the racing last year was really good, and that I was looking at the video, the front grandstand was packed last year, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a little spectator wise on Thursday, and Friday is not near what it is on Saturday, but you know, people have jobs and work, and not every day is Saturday like mine. Since I retired, I just call every day Saturday.
And you're still out there racing, aren't you? Yeah, I see you at the racetrack. You're still out there doing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not driving, but I'm there every time the boys race. And then sometimes when they're not.
Talk about the legacy of Jesse and Daniel over these many years, and it just seems like their story just grows each and every year, and this event is a big part of that. Just kind of talk about how Jesse, he loved both the wing and the non-wing card. He was pretty damn good at both these race cars. For the race fan to come in there and be able to watch both the wing and non-wing, there's really no other event where they can come to one event and see both the wing and non-wing at this level, is there?
No, I'm going to have to apologize. I cannot talk about Jesse and Daniel. I get too emotional.
Yeah.
But the tribute is amazing. And
hey, let's talk about the little bit of a difference with the non-wing cars this year, the split in the field up, running half the field tonight and half of it on Friday. Your thoughts about that and a little bit of an adjustment on the wing cars as well, where they're taking out the second set of qualifiers, call them heat races, and then they're going to qualify these cars during hot laps tonight. I know there's been some tire issues this year and so forth that been part of that, but that should save the racetrack a little bit. Your thoughts about the adjustments in the format this year?
Well, I've been trying to get them to split both classes for the last 4 or 5 years, and finally they did the non-wing. I don't have any control of that, but my thoughts is it'd be a lot better if they split the wing cars too, because number one, you're keeping the people here too late. Number two, 3 nights in a row running this hard, it's hard for the crews to get their cars prepared to top notch, you know, and ready to race. So, plus they wear the racetrack out so bad. But last year was the final night. You couldn't ask for a better track or a better race. So maybe they got it down a little better. We'll see.
Yeah, they've really improved year after year with the track prep down there. And it's a real challenge, as you described, with the number of race cars that are out on the racetrack. But these guys at Lucas Oil Speedway really do a much better job each and every year, don't they?
Yeah, they, you know, this is basically a stock car modified type track on a weekly basis. They run sprint cars here twice a year, but over the years they've really learned how to, you know, get this track prepared. And even if it's not what we think it should be, it's not from lack of effort. I mean, they put everything they can in this. And I'd hate to think of the amount of diesel fuel they burn just working this track.
And I'm looking at the weather forecast. We don't have to worry about bad weather at all, it looks like. Looks like it's going to be a great weekend all weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a little warm in the day, in the middle of the day, but, boy, in the evening, it's perfect.
What do you think about it? I love this time of the year, having this event in late September. Your thoughts about it? I know they had an event in 2010 at Lake Ozark Speedway that was in June, but this September date really works, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and yeah, we couldn't be any more happy about it as we get ready to go here this weekend.
Anything you want to say to the fans that are coming in this weekend, the racers, anything you want to say to everybody as we get ready to start racing here tonight?
Well, this is going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's amazing how everybody loved them two boys.
Yeah. Jack, thanks so much for sitting in with us. We're just looking forward to the great racing here the rest of the weekend. We know it's going to be, and looking at the list of all the drivers that's going to be here this weekend, this is really going to be something to watch. Thanks so much for sitting in. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you asking me, and we're going to race hard.
Yep. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun weekend. Jack, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you.
You're welcome. And see you after a while later or something.
All right. You take care.
All right, man. Thanks.
There he is, Jack Hockett, joining us. And, yeah, boy, I'll tell you, Austin, you know, I can't think of any other race car driver in the world that has a better memorial than Jesse Hockett has, and with his old friend and crew chief Daniel McMillan. There is just no other event that keeps growing the way this one. There's no memorial race like it in all of racing, is there?
No, I think this is one of its one of a kind, really. I don't think, you know, like you said, there's one quite like it. You know, we have, you know, really, really cool memorial events, you know, across the nation. And I think, you know, one maybe you could compare it to is the BC 39. But,
yeah,
man, I've never attended that race. But from the streams you watch of it, I don't feel like, you know, I feel like, you know, the excitement and like the hype is there for it. But there's just a different feeling when you roll into Lucas Oil in the middle of September for 3 nights. And it's you're racing under, you know, the memorial name of Jesse Hockett and Daniel McMillan. It's just there's just a different feel about it, and it continues to grow every year. So, yeah, I think this is probably the race that maybe majority of his memorial races look up to that want to be like this event and you know, hopefully one day, you know, accomplish the things this race has accomplished.
And it just speaks to what kind of a guy Jesse Hockett really was. We had the pleasure of knowing him, but just how passionate he was about racing. And he was just a friend to everybody. Everybody loved Jesse Hockett. And it's a real testimony to his legacy and his memory that this many drivers show up to want to run this event. It's not about, this is one event where it's not about the money at all.
You know, the money is like the added a little bonus at the end, like, all right, you know, I just won, you know, the Hockett McMillan, and I also won $10,000 too. Like that's just like the cherry on top deal of it too. It's just I never met Jesse. I never got to see Jesse race. You know, I spent, you know, my years that Jesse raced, I was probably from when I was born to maybe about 7 or so is when Jesse was still racing. And I spent those nights, you know, at Lakeside, and I don't ever really have any, you know, memories of when he ran the Sprint Bandits race there, and never really was traveled out anywhere else to go see sprint car races. So I just get to hear stories from, you know, friends of mine. I'm really good close friends with the Wagner brothers that, you know, drive for Jack and carry on the Jesse Hockett Racing name, and it shows at this event, you know, how much he meant to people and the impact that he left. I mean, for someone like me that never got to meet Jesse, never got to see him race, never really felt the impact that he had when he was racing, to feel that now is just shows, you know, how big of a character he was and how big of a person he, you know, continues to be.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Jack Hockett, you're his family, and people are still talking about Jesse this way 12 years after we lost him. I mean, that, no one, there's just not many people that have that kind of an ability to have their lost loved ones remembered the way that Jesse is year in and year out, and his stature and his whole memory continues to grow every year. That's pretty special. You just don't get that all the time. Very seldom do you get that.
No, and it's been so cool to, you know, that I've been racing sprint cars 4 years now, and I this is the first year I've missed the race, but it's nothing is cooler and makes my weekend more special than seeing Jack, you know, kind of roam around the pits and stopping and he talks to everybody. Yeah. The first couple of years, I was the biggest nobody there. I mean, I just was some plain white car that just showed up to race, and, you know, I was treated like, you know, I was, you know, the biggest guy that, or the guy that just won the race, it felt like. So it's just, it runs in the family, I feel like, and you know, to just even be a part of knowing them and knowing Jack, you know, it's just, you know, really cool. As a driver.
Yeah, you don't find a better guy than Jack Hockett. Now, are we supposed to have Riley Kreisel on the air?
Yep, here? I think we have Riley right
here. Do we have him right there?
Yep.
Do you want to take a break now or just bring Riley on right
now?
We'll
go straight to Riley.
Riley Kreisel is joining us now. Riley, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Thanks for joining us. You're just going to run the non-wing car this weekend, right?
Yeah, just the one car for us. Unfortunately, we don't have a 360 in our possession. I would love to try to run the wing deal here. It just seems like an event that the wing guys flourish to, and it'd be a huge event to try to tackle.
Just how do you look at the weekend here? At they've done a little format change here. They split the field up two separate nights of qualifying. Just how do you look at things here this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's they split it up. There's like 64 cars, I think, they have entered. I like the split format. It kind of gives you a chance to watch the racetrack or get your night out of the way either way. You don't have to run against as many guys. I think that kind of makes it a little easier, but you still kind of have to be on your game. And I don't know. I think the racetrack doesn't get worn out as much throughout the week by not having 100 and whatever cars on it every night. I like it. Get over a little bit earlier and get to meet some fans.
Austin, feel free to jump in whenever you want to. Now, you're running tomorrow night. Does that give you a little bit of advantage? You can see what happens tonight?
I think so. You know, in the history of this event, Thursday is normally the worst of the three nights, I think, for the racetrack. Friday, they normally have it pretty good, and Saturday it's normally pretty good. So I don't know. You know, maybe they've figured that out over the years, and Friday will be just the same as Thursday. But yeah, you get to watch. I don't normally get to go to a racetrack and watch these guys. So I get to watch them kind of study their racecraft a little bit. So yeah, I think it does give me a little bit of an upper hand getting to run Friday.
You haven't ran a lot of gnawing stuff this year. I remember you ran the open wheel show down there back in May, then you went pretty much straight wing racing. So, you know, you don't have, you know, normally like you do running a full gnawing schedule. So what's that kind of, you know, either mindset or what do you have to do as a driver to kind of, you know, get yourself back into what you're kind of used to?
Yeah, like you said, we ran probably four non-wing shows all year. The race here in May, you know, we worked really hard. We knew that because we weren't going to run very many non-wing races, we needed to make the race here in May count. So we worked really hard trying to find the balance in our race car that we normally lack here. This racetrack is a racetrack that we don't get around very good, honestly. Whether it be the May race or the Hockett race, and the Hockett race always puts a lot more pressure on us. And it seems like we're always well prepared. We just always have something happen that just either out of our control or something kind of a fluke deal. So yeah, so we worked on our balance there for the May race. We won that deal. You know, we were looking at lap times. We're pretty close. We worked on it a little more in the shop this week. I think we spent about 4 hours on the scales trying to get it right where we wanted it. But like you said, we've only run about four shows non-wing all year. So first laps of hot laps, we'll kind of get back in the feel for things and kind of just go through our normal progression. I feel like I'm pretty versatile in these deals. So I also haven't run enough wing races to really mess me up, I don't believe. You know, we've only run like seven wing races all year. So, you know, hopefully get the first couple laps of hot laps under my belt and we'll be ready to rock.
You say you haven't been running that many races this year. Just kind of talk about your season so far.
Yeah, so this year we built the wing car to go 410 wing racing, and just unfortunately, I think there were 20-something races scheduled. We've only run about six or seven, whether it be weather or just racetracks not being finished because of shortages or whatever it might be, tire shortage, you know, all that stuff. So our original schedule was to run like 26, 27 races, mostly wing stuff. About two or three non-wing shows, and we ended up running about six non-wing shows and about 10 wing shows. So just kind of didn't really fizzle our season, just kind of let us have some time off and kind of get built up better for next year.
You and Austin seem like you're kind of on the same but limited number of races this year. You guys are kind of together a little bit on this stuff.
Yeah, it seems like we both have been kind of limited by whatever it might be. You know, I know he had his engine issues, and he's getting that fixed up and ready to go for next year. And kind of the same thing, you know, we built our wing car. We only have the one car, the one motor right now. So kind of get our wing program built up and hit wing racing pretty hard next year.
Tires been a big issue this year, haven't they?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, there for a while you couldn't get any at all. Now you can get a couple. It seems like a little bit easier maybe to get some. But yeah, there at the beginning of the year, we were all kind of scrambling, really digging into my used tire inventory, which is perfect. You know, I had a whole bunch of them that I needed to do something with, so I got to burn a lot of them off. And yeah, seems like it might be coming around, but I don't know if there's really a fix very near.
Tell us about your car you're running this weekend. That'd be huge to hold the big trophy on Saturday night here, wouldn't it?
Yeah, this is probably the biggest circle on my calendar. You know, there's this is one of the biggest events that we go to, and it being this close to home, you know, I get to see a lot of friends and family that don't get to come watch us race a lot. This car has seen dirt about 6 times, 3 of the times being here, 1 of the times being a win. So this car we feel like has pretty good balance here. So yeah, you know, with the Hockett family and Jack being from Warsaw and Jesse, you know, this means a whole lot to our family. My mom worked at Walmart with Connie, and I went to school and walked down the same hallways as Jesse, and Jack comes to my shop once a week. I mean, it's just a huge tie for our family. This would be a huge win.
So what do you need to do on your qualifying tonight to put yourself in a spot to have a shot at winning on Saturday night?
You know, we need to be good every time we hit the racetrack. Normally we lack a little bit as the night goes. We normally start off pretty strong and just kind of fade at the end. Saturday we normally have to come from deep, so if we could get some good track position going into Saturday, I think we'd be a lot better than we have been in years. Obviously with our win in May, we know we have speed. You know, obviously the easiest thing to do would be to win our prelim night and just be ready for Saturday. Obviously that's easier said than done. So, you know, just minimize my mistakes. I know my guys are going to give me a great race car every time I go on the racetrack. So it's going to be my job, to not mess that up for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, winning in May, you gotta have a lot of confidence, coming in here. Do you not?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, this place has always eluded us, and I've always, this place has always tricked me every time I come. So the win in May kind of gives me some confidence that maybe I've gotten what I needed to get out of my system for this place. And I know that our notebook's pretty stout coming in, and the racetrack is pretty consistent throughout the year when we're here, when the open wheel cars are here. So, you know, I know our notes are going to correlate pretty well. We might have to make a few changes here or there. But I took the race car that we won in May, I put it on a set of stands, put it in the corner of the shop, maintenanced it, and it's been sitting, pulled it out of the corner, got it ready and loaded up. So, you know, as long as we don't get fooled by the racetrack and we make the right changes, we should have some decent speed.
Talk about Jesse Hockett, and just, I mean, his legacy speaks for itself right now, but the way he was in both wing and non-wing cars, how successful he was, the versatility that he had in both the wing and non-wing, how big of an inspiration has that been to you?
Huge. You know, I always grew up, my dad ran non-wing stuff, so that's kind of the route that I went. I've always loved watching wing sprint cars, the speed, the mental process that goes into racing a wing car. It's crazy. It's super hard to do. You know, they don't drive themselves like everybody thinks they do. You know, it's very tough. And you know, I like to think that I'm pretty decent at hopping in and out, whether it be a midget, a sprint car, whatever it is. But man, there's not many that are like him, that could do it that well and that consistently. You know, he wasn't hopping in and out and running mid pack. He was hopping in and out and competing for wins. And, that's honestly, that's the best thing, you know, that as a driver, that's what everybody wants to be able to do, is to just be able to get in and not worry about it. And honestly, the biggest thing is he had an awesome crew chief. I mean, Daniel could set those things up and they'd go wherever Jesse needed to go. And, you know, that makes a guy's life a lot easier. You still have to drive the thing and you still have to race. You still have to have the racecraft. But when you have the confidence in your guys to get in a race car and know that, you know, it's not going to tip over when I hit the curb, or it's not going to do this, when I roll the bottom, it's going to stick, you know, that's the relationship that those two had is huge in the success that they had. And, those two were dominant.
Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing you in the 91 car tomorrow night. I see Wesley Smith. He's the defending champion. He's also racing tomorrow night. It's pretty good field of drivers down here this weekend. The best of luck to you. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be fun watching this whole weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. There's a lot of good guys. You know, I think Wagner runs tomorrow, Corey runs tonight with Mario, and I mean there's a lot of really good guys, and both nights are going to be really good to watch, and Saturday's going to be even tougher because there's so many good guys.
That's right. Well, Riley, thanks a lot for joining us today. Good luck to you tomorrow night and the rest of the weekend.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there he is. Riley Kreisel will be driving the number 91 car. And, Austin, do we need to take a break right now before we finish up? We can do that.
No, I think we're pretty much we're at the end of our show.
All right. Well, what do you think about it? I think Riley's got a pretty good shot at this thing, don't you?
I think so, too. You know, like he kind of said, he's struggled here, you know, kind of throughout the years. And, you know, he had good runs, but would have some nights that just kind of got away from him. And I think, you know, confidence is the biggest thing and racing in general. So, and especially when you come to a big event like this. So I think them coming in there with, you know, having a ton of speed and confidence in their car and winning the race, you know, that the open wheel showdown in May is really important for guys, you know, in wing and non-wing racing that you know, are planning on running the Hocket in September, because it's the only time we get to race on the track. From, you know, that race in May to now, it's all late models or modifieds or stock cars. There's no sprint cars, so you have one shot to get your stuff ready before you come to the biggest race of the year. So for them to come out there and get a win and have a really good piece after a couple of years of struggling is huge confidence boosters and really should set them up for a good weekend if it just comes down to not making any mistakes and you know, maximizing, you know, each time you're on the track to the best result you could possibly get and setting yourself up for hopefully, you know, a good payday on Saturday night and you know, picking up the biggest, you know, win of your career.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear him say they've only been out 7 or 8 times this year. Is that right? Man, that's I thought they were at, you know, racing a full schedule this year. But to be honest, I haven't seen his name all that much this year.
Yeah, with him just, you know, kind of wanting to step away from the non-wing side and hit some more wing races, it's just they wanted to focus more on you know, the wing stuff and they committed to run Power Eye full time. And you know, the Power Eye series just had a couple issues with getting races scheduled and having, you know, races, you know, take place. Like I said, I think Riley said they had 20 races scheduled and only maybe hit 7, and a handful of those were Power Eye races. And we know Power Eye had issues with tires and race rainouts and just trying to get facilities to confirm their races. So yeah, for him to have, you know, a good season and the short amount of races that he got to run is really good, because normally, I mean, if you have a bad season or a short season, you're not on the track a whole lot, and maybe your results aren't that good. So to have some good results in both cars and, you know, just a handful of races is actually, you know, a pretty good stat.
Hey, I want to mention, Scott's sitting back down here again, but the Lucas Oil Late Model Knoxville Nationals also opens up tonight, 3-night weekend. And Mike Marler, the defending winner and 3-time champion of the Late Model Knoxville Nationals, will be at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame tomorrow at 11 o'clock with Dave Argerbright, who will be there. So check that out tomorrow at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame with Mike Marler. Great guy that you want to get over there, check it out, have a visit with. So we've got these big events this weekend. Scott, your thoughts about heading in? It's going to be race time not too many hours away. We're going to be racing.
Man, I'm looking forward to it. I just hope we're not here till 2 in the morning, Kirk. That's my biggest concern tonight. It's going to be a late night. And my Chiefs are playing tonight.
Oh, yeah, you got to follow that, the Chargers.
I got to follow the Chiefs. Got to see if they can beat the San Diego Chargers. A lot of people don't think they can. You know, it's so funny, Kirk. I watch all the national talking heads. And everybody, almost to a man, thinks San Diego is going to beat the Chiefs. I don't get it, really, to be honest with you, because in my eyes, and maybe I'm a homer, but I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, he does have a Super Bowl win. Justin Herbert has yet to win the Super Bowl yet, so you have to say Patrick Mahomes is the best till he's not.
Well, and how many AFC West championships have they won? How many times have they been to the AFC championship game? He's been an MVP. His stats are way better than anybody else's right now that is current. Way better than Justin Herbert. Way better than the Bills quarterback. I don't get it, man. But it's going to be a real challenge tonight because that defense of the San Diego Chargers is pretty tough, man. Yeah. What'd they get? Like 6 sacks, 3 knockdowns last week. They're pretty with Khalil Mack and all those guys over there. It's going to be a real challenge for them tonight. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes is pretty good at scrambling out of the pocket. So we'll have to see how it plays out.
Now that's on Amazon Prime. I see that's locally on Channel 41, NBC affiliate here in town. But the rest of the country's got to watch that on the net on Amazon Prime. Are you able to dial that up where you're at down there?
If I can't, Kirk, I will be dialing it up on my phone.
That's what I'm saying. I think you get it on your phone tonight. So you'll be watching that for sure. Hey, Knoxville also opens up tonight. Mike Marler is a 3-time champion up there. He's the defending winner. And Jonathan Davenport, he's been on a roll this year. What are your thoughts about the late model Knoxville Nationals that kicks off tonight?
Well, you know, I'd love to see Mike Marler win it again, wouldn't you? I mean, Mike Marler is one of the coolest guys I've met in late model racing, so... Anyway, what do you think? Hold on a second. Let me ask you this. Where's Mike Mahler been lately? He hadn't been racing a lot, has he?
He just ran the Flow Night in America.
I know he did that. I watched that the other night. But I haven't seen him race for several weeks. Anybody else seen him race for several weeks?
Yeah, he took a little bit of time off. He was out there on the road for the longest time and really did well through July and into August. He was, what do you have, like 13 top 3 or 5 finishes there at one time? I forgot what the number was.
No, 17.
17.
I think it was.
17. Yeah.
But you know what? I think Mike Mahler probably needed to heal up his back from down here at Lucas Oil Speedway. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I talked to Wayne Johnson, what was that, Lakeside Speedway last week. I said, Wayne, how you doing? He said, I feel great. He says, I needed that time out of the car to heal up, and he tells me that he feels great. And there's 4 defending winners, or 4 former winners of the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial at this event. He is one of them. Sam Hafertiep Jr. is back. He's a 3-time winner. Blake Hahn has won it, and Derek Hager is a former winner. Was Sam wasn't
hey,
even
did
there
you say
last
Hager?
Year, was he?
It's Hagar.
Hagar.
Yeah.
Derek Hagar. Was Sam Hafertiep even at that event a year ago?
Was Sam here last? I don't know if he was here last
year. I didn't think he was.
No, I don't think he was either.
So he is back, and he won 3 out of 4. The only guy that broke up that string was Blake Hahn, who won this event 3 years ago.
Sam's the best 360 driver in the country.
Yeah.
Let's don't mince words here. He's the best, right? He's won 5 Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour Championships. He's the only guy to do that. Oh, no, Jason. Did Jason win 5?
I'm
pretty sure.
I can't remember.
He was 5 or 4.
Yeah.
I think Sam's won the most championships, has he not?
I think he has.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Kirk, I really appreciate you filling in for me today, man. I've been walking outside just coughing my lungs out. I appreciate you filling in for me today, but.
Well, just get well.
Well.
I hate to have you down there at a big race this weekend and not be 100%. Well and ready to go. This has nothing. You weren't out partying late last night or anything. You just picked up some kind of a bug.
Let me just tell you, I was in my motorhome last night at 9 o'clock. I wasn't out partying. There was a lot of partying going on last night, but I wasn't part of it.
I just wanted to clarify to the audience here that this has nothing to do with you partying out late last night or anything like that. You just picked up a bug of some sort.
I got a little cough and stuffy nose. It's just I got a cold.
You had it even before you left here to go down there, didn't you?
Well, if you remember right, yesterday I was complaining about sinus. I thought it was a sinus problem, but it turns out that it was a little bit more than that.
Well, let's get you wet. Well, you were up all night, so you're going to have to go back in the motorhome there and lie down and get ready for tonight.
I'm going to go get me a sub up at Casey's, and I'm going to go back to the motorhome and eat it, and then I'm going to take a little nap, and then I'm going to get up, and I'm going to watch this race, and I'm going to watch the Chiefs tonight. Hopefully, this TV right behind us will have the game on it. That's what I'm hoping.
I wouldn't count on it. It's on Amazon Prime, unless they can pick up Channel 41 in Kansas City.
Well, why wouldn't one of the local affiliates have the game on as well?
Well, only the Kansas City and Los Angeles affiliates, I'm told, is the only way you can watch it on your local TV. Otherwise, you got to watch it on Amazon Prime. That's what I heard.
All right, Kirk, I got to get out of here. My nose is running.
All right. So let's wrap things up for today. We'll be back here tomorrow. Scott Traylor, I hope in normal, healthy mood to host this show. Otherwise, Scott Austin and I will be here regardless. So thank you for tuning in to this edition of Mostly Motorsports, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. For Austin O'Neill and my down in the weather partner, Scott Traylor, I'm Kirk Elliott. Thanks for tuning in. We'll do it again tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.